Married Dude and Friends episode something, I think seven, six, seven, I'm not sure. I'm joined by my friend
David Fitch.
David Fitch from the Scissor Kicks. He's a local punk rocker in the Wisconsin scene, here to pimp out his band.
Yeah, for sure.
So, well, first things first, we met in college at UW Fond du Lac, and I think math class.
Yeah, I think it was math class. You sat behind me the whole time. We just talked about bands, didn't really pay attention too much, you know.
Yeah, and then we were in, was that philosophy?
Yeah, philosophy.
That's when we really started talking about music, because the professor called me out because I was wearing a NoFX shirt.
Yeah.
And he asked me about, I think he asked me like pretty much about like skinhead bands.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't know what to say.
Yeah, there's a bunch of those. Some good, some bad, you know.
Yeah. I recently showed somebody, he's not necessarily a skinhead, but I recently showed somebody G.G. Allin.
Yeah.
And we watched like his last show on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, you ever seen his documentary, Hate It?
No.
Oh, yeah, it shows all the guts and glory of him.
He's fucking weird.
Yeah,
I couldn't do a G.G. Allin show. Well, I mean, he's dead now, but...
Yeah, he kicked the shit out of people, break bottles over the head. You know, he make girls give him head on stage. He'd shit all over the ground and wipe it all over himself and eat it and stuff.
Yeah, you know. And people liked him.
Yeah, people like that stuff.
I don't know how you could go to a show knowing that you're going to get borderline shit thrown at you, raped, or who knows, the crap beat out of you.
Yeah, I think some guy on there was like, I think people just have that inner savage instinct to do that stuff, and they like going to his shows because he had the balls to do it, you know, so I think
that's true. And that, I mean, that was back in the days where the punk scene wasn't what it is today.
No.
It was a much more violent.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, it's all the generations of punk have been totally, totally different.
Our generation nowadays, like when I go to shows, you know, there's a couple pits here and there.
Yeah.
But it's mostly, I see like a ton of bros now at a lot of shows.
Well, you go to pretty big shows?
Not really. No. Sometimes I do. Like I just recently saw Directed at Summerfest, but I saw them a couple months ago play it at a bar. Which was really a really cool show. They played with the Flatliners.
Okay.
And what was the other band called? I don't remember. Junior Battles, I think.
Okay. Have you ever heard of them? No, I never heard of them. I heard of Flatliners though.
Flatliners are decent.
Yeah.
But I just saw them because Rise Against was playing at the same stage, which back in the day I used to like Rise Against, but I kind of outgrew that, I think.
Yeah.
But there's just all these dudes, you know, and they're just giving Direct Hit shit. I mean, they didn't care, but.
Right, you know, there's always dicks out there, you know.
Yeah, and now, like, last summer I went to a Frank Turner show, and Off With Their Heads was playing with them, and it was just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Frank Turner kind of blew up, though.
Oh, really?
He's pretty big now.
Yeah,
He's a pretty big guy, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, I don't really go to many big shows. I think the next biggest show I'm going to... would probably be, I'm going to go see The Offspring with Bad Religion and Stiff Little Fingers.
Well, yeah, that sounds like a good lineup.
Yeah, you know? They're playing Smash, so I thought that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I heard of Riot Fest, there's a lot of bands that were playing, like, full albums, like Descendants were playing Milo Goes to College.
I've seen The Descendants twice, both times at Riot Fest. Riot Fest is decent, but I'm afraid it's going to turn into a Warped Tour eventually.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say they're almost equivalent now. I think... Warped Tour has a lot of newer big popular bands, mm-hmm. but Riot Fest seems to have a lot of old school stuff still, so hopefully it stays that way.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully not too many people die, like the dude from Guar.
Yeah.
He just recently died, but they're still going. I'm surprised all the people from NoFX are still alive at times.
Yeah, they party pretty hard, you know, but...
I think they've settled down now that they're older and have kids and stuff, but still, they've done... a lot of drugs.
I know. Even now, being 25, you know, you got, let's say, two shows in a weekend, and you play a show, you give it all you got, and you get real drunk afterwards. If you don't play last, and then you're super hungover the next day, so you got to get drunk before you play, so you feel better and alive. And then, you know, next day, sleep all day, and I got to go back to work and work a night shift, and it just sucks, you know. Like,
yeah,
hangovers get so much worse when you start to get older. And
absolutely, yeah. Now I have, like, you know, I'll get pretty drunk, and then the next day I just puke my brains out.
Yeah,
and not working a night shift, I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, you know,
shitty, but
you get home 2:30 in the morning, you pass out, and I always wake up at like 8 o'clock in the morning. So then I'm up all day, hungover, yeah. And then I will go work 12 hours. I'm like, you know, it's like, why do we keep doing this?
You yeah, know? And you guys recently went on a little mini tour, didn't you?
Yeah, in May, or was it May? Yeah, it was May. It was right before my birthday. We played this little town called Galesburg, Illinois, and I mean, the kids there, they seemed like they really wanted to discover something new,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't quite, they had their own version of it, but it was really like grassroots, you know. A lot of kids had their face painted like the Misfits, and like
right.
It was all those, like, not generic, but all the classic bands. But sure. You know, it was a Thursday night. It was thrown together last minute for us, and like 35 kids showed up to this coffee shop.
Nice.
And you know, we're moshing all around in the coffee shop and stuff, and it was real cool. And then the next day, we drove to Kansas City, and that was cool being there because I was born there, so I hadn't been there in like 20 years. But yeah, that was a cool scene out there. Everybody was nice, and you know, we had a good time. Stayed in a real nice hotel. I got pretty super drunk, you know, obviously.
Nice, nice.
And then the next day, our last show was in Omaha, and I don't know if you ever heard of the Shittiots from Omaha, Nebraska.
I have not.
No.
I'll have to check them out.
Real cool guys. Dan and Blaine, two guys in that band, they really helped put our little mini tour together because we mm-hmm. never did it before.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of work and planning to get that stuff down because you can't just ask any band. They'll be like, oh, yeah, we'll get you a show right away. You know, you do talk to a lot of bands and be like, oh, yeah, bro, that's cool. Yeah, we'll see what we can find. And then they'll never get back to you, and you ask them a month later, oh, I totally forgot. But after this weekend, when we get back playing a show, we'll get back to you, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, so it's hit or miss. You really got to stay persistent.
Well, I mean, that's pretty cool, though, to get on the road a little bit and
yeah.
spread out a little bit. I mean, you never know. You never know who, like, you're going to influence or who you're going to meet on the road and
right.
stuff like that. And you got to, if you're in a band, you definitely need that experience because that's what you want to do. You want to play the fucking world if you could. And
yeah. I mean, there's a lot of times I wish I was like a tattoo artist or a cook or something. So I could just like be like, all right, see, I'll be back in 6 weeks and my job would be waiting for me. But I'm a factory worker, so it doesn't work that way. Got to use your own personal vacation and whatnot.
Yeah, I haven't been in a band in a really long time. I actually don't even remember the last band I was in. Usually, like, my extent of playing shows is, like, getting drunk and playing songs in my living room.
Yeah, that's always fun.
To my friends, you know?
Right.
And, but now that I have two kids, I want to play music, but it's hard to find people that want to play the same stuff as I do. Because a lot of time, you know, when I was younger, I was really into, like, ska, I was really into punk.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, now, I still like that type of music, but I listen to a lot of acoustic stuff, you know, like Chuck Reagan.
Right, right.
And, I mean, American War, have you ever heard of him?
No, I haven't.
He's fucking really good. He's an acoustic guy. He doesn't do it anymore. He's in a band called The Sidekicks, which they're okay.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's a bunch of stuff I would like to do, and the most practical thing would just be to do it myself and write stuff. I have a ton of lyrics I just got to get.
Well, the one thing about starting a band is no member of any band has the exact same opinion on every single thing.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
if you
absolutely.
Get, you find some people that you click with and you got the right broad idea of what you want to do, then it's all about compromise. You know, you write this song, and if they don't like it, you don't play it. You know, and if they all agree, you know, then you play it. You know, there's some songs that you like, but you don't really like, but you play it. You know, it's all about compromise. If you get too picky and it gets too one-sided in a band, then it'll just blow up. And you know.
Well, I mean, the problem is, like, I think I have, now I have, like, two or three friends that really actually, like, listen to, like, the music that I like. All my other friends, they like country, which is fine, but it's not
right.
That's not my cup of tea necessarily.
Yeah,
I like some country, but not the stuff you hear on the radio.
Exactly.
And then, you know, a lot of everybody else listens to just whatever's on the radio, top 40 stuff, which isn't necessarily bad either, but it's not the direction I need to go. I want to go.
Music has gotten so generic and overproduced.
Absolutely.
I mean, people at my work who never really, you know about underground, you know, the underground scene and all this stuff, they ask me, "Oh, what kind of music do you play?" I'm like, "Oh, we're kind of like a 90s style pop punk band." And then they're like, "Oh, what bands do you play or like cover?" Like, "We write our own songs mainly." "Oh, really? You do?" I'm like, "Yeah, there are some bands that play at bars that aren't cover bands that charge 10, 15 bucks, you know?"
Yeah.
You hear Journey, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
There's bands out there writing their own stuff, and there's some really good stuff out definitely. There, you know?
It's crazy, you know, especially in our area, in like the Midwest, we have some pretty big name cover bands.
Yeah.
That are making like, I know of one that makes like 10 grand a gig.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. Which is crazy.
Stupid.
You know, and it appeals to the older generation because they're playing
right.
to the, you know, the people in their mid 40s, upper early 50s and everything like that, but it's just nuts because it's like you could put a lot of, you know, you guys probably put a ton of effort into your music trying to make everything sound good, perfect every song, and like, you know, people will just kind of like blow you off unless they actually listen to you, you know?
Right?
Because I know a lot of people that I'll say, you know, I'll list like some of the music I listen to, like they'll be like, you know, "What are your favorite bands?" And I always say that like nowadays it's like direct hit off their heads. I do really like Frank Turner, but he's probably the one that most people recognize. But even if I say like Alkaline Trio, people are like, "Who are they?"
Right?
And Alkaline Trio is pretty big, I would say.
Yeah, they're
and
pretty well-known band,
but they won't even give it a shot when I'm like, "Oh man, you know, just check out this song or something, you might like it," and they'll be like, "Ah, no."
Or you get those people that, you know, are nice, but you're like, "Oh, you're in a band? Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. I'll come check that out sometime. Oh yeah, yeah." And then, you know, "Hey, did you listen to it? Do you want a copy?" "Oh, well, let me get back to you, you know." "I'm offering to give you some of our music, you know, what do you got to lose?"
Yeah, but I'm always up for getting new exposure to music. And I mean, even if it's not necessarily punk, like I do listen to some rap, not a lot. Like,
me too. I listen to some old school rap.
I just saw Outkast the other day.
Oh, that's awesome.
At Summerfest. That was fucking really good.
Yeah, I wanted to get, I heard the tickets were real expensive for that.
Yeah, I paid like 60 bucks for mine.
Yeah.
But there's definitely, that was like a band I had to see before I die.
Oh yeah. I know a lot of punks that like Outkast and like, you know, Ice Cube, N.W.A., Public Enemy.
Yeah,
you know.
Wu-Tang's playing at Riot Fest.
Yeah, I seen that.
That'd be interesting. I heard recently one of the dudes like cut off his dick and jumped out a window, didn't he?
That wasn't a member. I heard that was some guy that was not related family-wise to the band, guy that was associated with the band.
Okay.
He cut his dick off and tried to jump off a building or something? Like,
yeah. He's got a lot of balls to cut off his wiener.
And who knows what he was on, you know.
Yeah, he's probably on something crazy. But I know, like, RZA, he acts sometimes.
Oh, does he?
He was in a season of Californication.
Oh, okay.
He played, like, a gangster actor, which, I mean, he's a gangster. So I think it's pretty funny, all these rappers that are in movies and TV shows, like Ice Cube and Ice-T.
Yeah.
They both have songs about, you know, fuck the police and cop killer. Like, Body Count has that song, but they play cops all the time.
Yeah, I know.
I just think that's
somewhat
ironic. But yeah, Body Count's really good, and I wouldn't necessarily consider them a rap band. They're kind of like a thrash type of thing. I don't know. It's hard to classify, I guess.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting Ice-T to do something like that, but
They're coming back, Body Count.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah. They were just on Conan.
Really?
They performed, yeah.
Oh, I don't really watch a whole lot of cable, so I haven't really followed up on that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But as far as shows for you guys play a lot in our area, right?
Yeah, especially the main gig place in Fond du Lac, Ziggy's Corner Pub.
Ziggy's, yeah.
J&R Entertainment, who puts all these shows together, Jim and Russ and Mike and Cassandra, Jim's wife, and you know, a couple other guys to help out, but they've seriously just brought the scene back strong.
Yeah.
And I mean, they do open mics on Thursdays. They got shows almost every Friday and Saturday, and then they do like a more laid back open mic on Sundays. But it's like any band that wants a gig, they give a shot, and they put together like rock shows, thrash shows, hardcore shows, metal shows, you know, punk shows, and you know, they give everybody a shot. And you know, at least, especially like we've had we played with the Sheckies from Jersey St. Patrick's Day.
Nice.
It was a Monday, and there must have been 100 people there going nuts, chucking beer everywhere, you know.
That's awesome.
You know, the Shecky said it was one of the best crowds of their tour. And we recently played with a band called Braceface from Maryland a few weeks ago. And that was a weekday, too. Good turnout. They said this was one of the best shows of our tour so far. So I think Fond du Lac's getting a pretty good reputation back because the scene was dying off for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
There.
It was really bad. You know? I think when I was in high school, it was pretty good. You know, you had bands like Offend Your Friends.
Yeah.
Debbie Jive. Sorry About Your Couch came here a lot.
Pick Nine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. A lot of shows were at the Legion Hall.
Legion Hall.
And then I actually got married there.
But, oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they remodeled. It looks a lot nicer now. But after they stopped bringing bands in, after they stopped, you know, they cut that off because all these people were getting arrested, all these fights and drugs and all that crap. After that stopped, then the scene kind of died. And then, you know, you had all these churches that were bringing in these Christian hardcore bands, like the metal bands, because that was pretty popular once I got in later high school.
Yeah.
There was like, you know, was like Under Oath was really popular. Mm-hmm. So now all these kids, they saw that was getting popular. So pretty much they just said they were, I think they said they were a Christian band just so they could get.
They could get gigs.
Gigs right. And I don't know, I always just said they were just screaming at Jesus, you know, but it wasn't, not. I mean, there's nothing wrong with hardcore, there's nothing wrong with metal, but I don't get the Christian scene. I guess I do. If you truly believe in it and you feel strongly about it, absolutely go make music about it, but I personally don't.
I think a lot of, you know, exactly, like to each their own. If you believe in it and that's the kind of music you want to play, that's fine. But I think they're just kind of using it as a type of media tool. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, we hear a hardcore band, but we'll make it about Jesus and, you know, Christianity. It just makes it kind of generic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're acting all tough and stuff, but, you know.
Yeah, really, you're on your knees for Jesus.
Right. I'd rather hear hymns, you know, myself.
Yeah. You know. There was you ever hear of the band As I Lay Dying?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Their singer recently, he's in prison now because he tried to hire like a hitman.
To kill his wife. Yeah.
And I guess he recently came out saying like he's actually an atheist, and he just, because they called themselves a Christian band, and he's like, you know, to sell more CDs, when a mother picks up a CD and it says As I Lay Dying on it, and you know they get a little taste of what they sound like. They're not going to buy that for the kid, but as soon as they found out they're Christian, then yeah, they changed their mind and bought it for the kid. So they just did it strictly for sales.
Yeah, it goes both ways too, because you see in punk rock and a punk rock scene, you know, a lot of it's a lot of atheists and everything, and they'll just kind of shun anything that's towards that. But you know, you go to these Christian bands, and it, you know, you think, oh, they're going to be accepting real nice kids. I went to a Christian school. You know, a bunch of stuck-up pricks. You know,
yeah.
And for the most part, and that's not even stereotyping anything. I grew up in church and stuff. You know, it's this nice, comfortable bubble for them. You know, and they pretty much cut off everybody else and look down on you. But
yeah.
So I think it goes both ways. You know, there's no solid compromise where it's just like, I respect you because you believe this and you have some solid basis behind what you believe in. I think it's there needs to be that togetherness, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not just limit it to one belief and shun all the rest.
I think a lot of punk bands, I mean, a lot of them are atheists or, you know, they have different religious beliefs and everything. But for the most part, I've never really met or heard of a band that's like too outrageous. I mean, NoFX has a lot of songs about religion, but they kind of make fun of everything.
Right.
And they make fun of themselves too.
Right.
So, because two of them are Jewish. So, you know, they make fun of them being Jews. So I think that kind of, if you can joke about yourself, I feel like you can joke about anything. And I don't think anything's off limits when it comes to jokes, but a lot of people do.
Me neither.
And religion is one of them. But I mean, if you can't joke about one thing, then you can't joke about anything.
Right. I mean, we've been asked to. There's pretty much a main consensus in our band that whenever we get asked to play a show, if it's one of those things where you have to pay for it and sell our own tickets, that's a no.
Yeah.
And if you tell us, oh, well, you can't say this and that, then that's a definite no. Because we joke about raunchy sex jokes, you know,
yeah,
blowjobs, anti-feminism, and it's all a joke. But it's like, you know, we've offended some people, I'm sure, but we just don't care. It's like, this is what we want to say, and yeah, we're going to say it. You're not going to limit us to what we're going to say.
You know? Yeah. Summerfest, you can't, if you play, like, I think between a certain time, you can't say fuck.
Oh.
Because, like, direct hit, they had to censor themselves while they played.
Oh.
I don't think they knew that till the last minute, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's so dumb.
Yeah, but I've shows that you have to try to sell your own tickets, that just seems ridiculous because, I mean, if it's all strictly for money, then what's the point of doing it?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people get the wrong idea about local bands. You know, it's just they're saying, oh, why don't you give this record company a demo, yo? You know, it's just like, it doesn't work that way. Like, you know, to record an EP, we work day jobs. We pay for our own stuff. We invest into, you know, getting someone to print off our albums, someone to mix and master our albums, and, you know, traveling to shows. I mean, we've traveled almost 500 miles in a day in a 94 Club Wagon van, our trusty van, and made $40, and we were cool with that, you know?
Yeah.
So we're not making any money on
no,
this.
No, absolutely,
you know?
Not. Especially, like, a lot of the touring bands, I don't think they're lucky to break even most of the time.
Right.
Because you're paying for all the shirts getting printed, you're paying for gas, paying for food, paying for, like, wherever you can stay.
Right.
And everything. But people don't understand that. They think if you're touring and you're, like, making money,
you got a bus or a $30,000 van or something like that. It's just not like that. But the one thing about the DIY scene is 99.5% of the time, touring bands come through. Whether you like them or not, you make sure that they're going to get their gas money. You know, if you're a local band, a lot of times we'll just give our share to the touring band, you know, to, you know, maybe get a hotel or just have a little extra cash in their pocket.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
If you got touring bands coming through, you got to make sure that they get their money, that they get enough money, and you kind of, I mean, if they need a place to crash, find them a place to crash, you know. But I think that's a really good thing about the DIY scene. Like, the people take care of their own.
Yeah.
And it's really cool that way. People are overall are real supportive. I mean, even in the punk scene, you get a lot of people who kind of get big egos. And,
yeah,
you know, they'll just sit in the back, like, hunched over, drinking a beer, not pay attention to any of the bands. And then when they get up, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm out of a beer. Who wants, you know, could somebody get me one of these? You know, this is like,
yeah,
you know,
there's always going to be people no matter what scene or, you know, environment, that's just going to be, they're going to think they're better than everybody else, but really they're not. And for the most part, I think a lot of bands, they seem to forget that, you know, if it wasn't for the people that are listening to them, that are helping them out, they wouldn't be around.
Right.
And, you know, I always love learning about new bands. I like hearing about, especially, like, the local scene too, because you want to, you know, make your life a little more entertaining, and you want to support, you know, whatever's going on in where you've been. I've been living in Fond du Lac for almost my entire life.
Right.
You know, if something's going on that I feel should be recognized, of course I'm going to want to try to support it.
You promote it, you know, it just goes, you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. And even if you don't scratch ours, we'll still scratch yours. You know, it's good that they have a variety going in Fond du Lac too, because, you know, for a while we were playing like once a month, you know, maybe twice a month in Fond du Lac. And I'm like, we need to get some new bands and that want to have shows. We don't want to sit here and play, oh, there's Scissor Kicks again. Oh, we like playing like once every other month. And there's enough bands breaking out now, you know, ready to play shows that are.
Yeah.
One band in particular, my roommate, Tony Streen's band, they're called No Time's a Charm.
Do they have like a video out on YouTube?
They don't. They're planning on recording soon, but it's real. It's really melodic, kind of new school pop punk.
Nice.
But it's real catchy too. But it's that you know, kind of a real Lawrence Arms, you know.
Oh, I love kind the Lawrence of Arms.
Yeah, yeah. It's, well, they're, you know, real cool guys. They're really talented. And
does he?
I'm hoping they can get out and start playing some shows outside of Fond du Lac and
does
stuff.
Does he have a bunch of, like, band tattoos?
Yeah, he's got a bunch of band
tattoos.
Does he
have, like, Milo and a Lawrence Arms tattoo?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I've talked to him before at the Coliseum.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Does he have, like, an AFI?
His nickname's Boner.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's been a while. But, yeah, dude, the Lawrence Arms are probably one of my favorite bands. I have a Lawrence Arms tattoo on my leg.
His too, yeah. But, yeah, they're really good. And also IDFK. I mean,
yeah,
they've been around for a solid 6 years. Even when the scene wasn't going really in Fond du Lac, they were still kind of keeping it above ground. You know, they've been kicking all sorts of pop punk ass for the last 6 years, you know.
Yeah, and when people say pop punk, I mean, I think a lot of people get confused of what exactly pop punk is, because, of course, right away they go straight to thinking, you know, Blink-182.
Oh, I've heard that
and,
so much.
You know, Sum 41 and, you know, those bigger bands that, you know, and I'm going to admit, you know, I grew up with Blink-182.
So did I.
And I...
It's inevitable. I know.
I can't help but to kind of have a special place in my heart for them.
I got a little place in my heart for them, you know. I think what they're doing now is real shitty, and I think Travis Barker's ego is...
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
Like,
I met Travis Barker when I was 14.
Yeah.
And I felt like such a little schoolgirl, because, you know, I'm 14, I was like the first, like... actual person in a band that I liked that I actually met, and it was just amazing. But now it's like, I meet, you know, I've met a lot of people in the bands that, and they're all just hanging out in the crowds when they're not playing,
right,
or they're at their merch table, and they'll just like shoot the shit with you for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people that I really like appreciate, because you can tell that they're actually like interested in meeting you. And then, like, you know, you buy like a shirt or an album from them, and they're just like really appreciative.
Right.
And that's what something you won't get in almost any other scene, because, you know, if you go to Country USA and you have...
You're on arenas, big stages.
Oh, I hate the Marcus Amphitheater, even though that's where I had to go to see Outkast, because, you know, 10,000 people were there. But I just hate those arenas, because it just becomes... they're not... I just feels like they're not really... You're not there to them, you know what I mean?
Right.
I like the places where it actually feels like there's, like, some sort of connection between... who's playing and the crowd, which you're not going to get.
I'm sure, yeah, I'm sure playing for a crowd of 10,000 or so, you just go up on stage and everybody's just a blur. You're like, everybody loves me. I'm on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
You know, I'm making $250,000 a show. You know, it's like, how do you, it just, you lose its all its personal thing. And I mean, that's what's real shitty about the new school rap game too. And even, you know, it's just all they're singing about is, I'm the best. I'm number one.
Yeah.
Fuck everybody else. You know, and in the punk scene, it's like, yeah, this band's cool. You know, this band, I really like this band too. And I was talking to some people at work, and they're like, well, it's pretty cool that you like support other bands and stuff. And you know, usually you just hear people dissing other people to get ahead. And like, we don't want that. You know?
No.
Like, that's the whole point we're doing this, you know?
And a lot of the bands I see now, they make sure when they go on tour that they don't want, you know, it's, they don't bring the same bands that they always tour with, which it's not that they don't like them. It's that they want to expose them to the crowd that they
attract.
Anybody's
that bringing that's drawing the bigger crowd in.
Yeah.
You know?
And, but I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. And it's unfortunate that people don't like really recognize the punk scene.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's all right, because you get the people that really appreciate music and just like really have, you know, having a good time and having a lot of, you know, bands, they have like songs that are pretty serious and they're trying to get a message out. But, you know, also they have songs that are just,
it gets,
you know,
overshadowed
fun.
By that generic sound. 'Cause even like, even decent kind of bands, like, let's say Arctic Monkeys, for instance,
sure,
you know, 8-9 years ago, that was real good garage rock. And now you can tell they're kind of, you know, synthing into that one generic sound that everybody bases around on the radio. And it's just, God, you're ruining it for us, man. You know, it's...
Yeah, and I know what you mean. And, I mean, for a while, like, Against Me was on the radio.
Yeah.
When I think they were on Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But they're obviously not on the radio anymore. Mm-hmm. Because, well, Laura Jane Gray's caught a lot of shit for all that, but which is stupid. Dude, I saw them a couple months ago And it's probably the best show I've ever seen them. I've seen them 3 or 4 times. But, like, after she, you know, came out with being transgender and everything, right. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was cool, you know.
And I think that's probably the most punk rock thing you could possibly do. Yeah. Because, you know, part of the people when they think of punk rock, they just think of these people that are pissed off and, like getting drunk and punching people and things like that. But it's not really like that. It's about accepting other people. It's about being yourself and not giving a shit what people fucking think. And it's, you know, and it's not a fashion fucking show like a lot of people think. You know, right. if you go to a punk show, you have to wear, you know, you have to have a mohawk. You have to have the fucking jean jackets and the ripped stuff.
I've had so many people be like, well, I think I'm going to stick out of the sore thumb of this show. What should I wear? Do you have a t-shirt I can borrow? Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, come as you are, have a good time and go home, because that's what we're here to do. And I mean, I think punk gets mistaken a lot for just noise punk. And I mean, there are those bands out there. There's all sorts of bands, but you know, even in pop punk, you know, catchy bubblegum stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, even in our band, we'll sing about something stupid about, you know, burritos and blowjobs or something like that. Yeah. But, you know, I make it a main mission to stand up for the working class, too. We have the song about OT in the factory, and I always kind of dedicate it to all the, you know, the working class people out there that are actually making a living and trying to make it. And,
yeah,
I mean, and also anti-racism, because a lot of people don't realize how racist Fond du Lac is. Like,
it's really racist.
It's ridiculous.
Really racist. Did you go to high school here?
I went to Fond du Lac Christian, but I've grown up here. Sure. So, I mean, you know, there's a big skinhead scene in Milwaukee, but you know, that's different. You know, it's more towards the working class. You know, they hang out with all sorts of different races of people. You're not necessarily racist because you're a skinhead. It's
a lot of people don't understand that either, because you know, they see like the movies like American History X and things and other stuff like that. These people, they're called skinheads, but you know, there's the ones that are nowadays. It's not, you know, they're against the racial.
It's stand up for the working class and taking pride in yourself. I know I made the decision to be a sharp skin, even though they got a pretty, you know, bad reputation in the bigger cities.
Sure.
It's skinheads against racial prejudice. It was started as like an individualist movement, not to be like a group, you know.
Yeah.
But I know in the 90s, I don't know how prevalent it is now, but in the big cities, they were forming into gangs and just going in and kicking the shit out of kids that they thought were racist. And a lot of times, you know, that's just fighting fire with fire.
Yeah.
You know, so I noticed that this town, how racist this town was, and I wanted to stand up for the working class, but also, you know, I want my race, people of my race, to take pride in themselves and work hard and earn a living, but I want all other races to have that equal opportunity and to go through with it. And, you know, I catch a lot of shit, because I think a lot of the skinheads in town are pretty old school, in their 40s now, but you know, I've had people come out to me in bars and fuck with me, do the white power sign, and it is what it is. All they do is talk a bunch of shit. I'm like, you know what? If you're going to gang up on me with 5 guys, go for it, you know? But they don't, you know? So it's just like, either you're going to do something or not. I'm not here to fight. This is what I believe. This is what you believe. I'm leaving you alone.
Exactly.
That, you know?
Exactly.
And
it's shitty when things like that happen, because, like, now, maybe back in the day, that's kind of what, like, you know, the skin punk scene was, and they call it a lot of times like the Nazi punk type of situation.
Right.
But I mean, nowadays, to me, punk is about unity.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, being together, even if you have like different opinions, whether it's political, religious, or, you know, things about race or sexuality or anything, like, that's fine. But, you know, I don't agree with everybody, and not everybody agrees with me, but I try to be accepting. And yeah, sometimes I get worked up, especially about like religion, when people try to push it on me.
Right.
And that's kind of when I might get a little lippy. But
right.
Other than that, you know, I bite my tongue and I'm like, you know, if that's something that you believe in and you feel.
I think something that needs to come back, and as I made that point before, how, you know, Christian bands kind of shun non-Christian bands and non-Christian bands shun. I mean, if punk rock's going to be about unity and acceptance, you know, just like I said, I respect anybody, regardless of what they believe, if they have a solid basis behind what they believe in and stick to it. So, I mean, I got friends that are Christians in the punk scene.
Yeah.
And you know what? You respect them for it. And you don't have to necessarily believe with all of it, but I think the whole point of punk is standing up for what you believe in. So why should we be shunning people because maybe they are religious, maybe they do believe in Christianity, maybe they are atheists or gay or something like that. Yeah. I think it should be a solid acceptance to an extent, you know. And I think that's just gone. I mean, even different kinds of punks, you know, you got the street punks and pop punk, and you got the new school hardcore and all that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that gets separated.
Yeah.
You know, but I understand that, you know, you listen to a genre of music for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
That you kind of pinpoint what kind of music you like, especially if you're in a band. I think it's good that they separate the shows to that certain subgenre of the genre.
Yeah.
That, you know, because you know, it gets confusing when they mix everything up, which is cool sometimes, but...
I went to a long time ago, I went to a show, and it was this band called Set Your Goals, which I wasn't really fond of, that they opened. Big D and the Kids Table played after them, and then Alexis on Fire played after them, and then Anti-Flag played, and this was before Anti-Flag got there. Everyone started hating them, but...
Yeah.
I don't necessarily hate Anti-Flag. But once again, I think I've kind of grown out of it.
Yeah, I still listen to Die for Your Government all the time. That's a great album. Yeah,
I mean, I like even their, I like For Blood and Empire. I think that was probably their last like real, real solid album.
Yeah,
and I mean, it might not be the majority, but
New Kind of Army is my second favorite.
That's a pretty good one. I like Terror State, you know, Underground Network. All that stuff is good, and they play that too. It's been a while since I've seen them, but every time I've seen them, they've put on a good show. And I've met them a couple of times, and they're nice dudes. And it gets to the point sometimes, you know. I guess you got to make money.
So you know, you gotta. Right. I mean, speaking of like pinpointing on what you like and stuff, that's what I like about our band too. I mean, Aaron has been playing guitar for a long time, and he's an established musician, but he knows what he likes, and he knows pop punk, and he's got it down. You know, it's always just straightforward and concrete, and, you know, it's... Everybody say we play a pretty, you know... I don't know, what's the word for it?
Solid?
Just a solid, but it's on par. You know, sure, it's not sloppy.
Yeah.
And we've gotten a lot of compliments like that, and I really like that kind of stuff, you know. That Ramones core solid, all right. I mean, overall, that's what I like about punk rock. It's no bullshit. It's just like, all right, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And you go. And I'm like, I want to say what I want and do it in a minute and a half, and we're just going to keep doing that for 35 minutes. You know, that's what I love about it. It's just you work all week and you earn, you know, you get all frustrated with everything, and you earn your time on the weekend to go play with a show, and you get up on stage and you just let loose and you just let it all out, you know.
Absolutely.
That's what's awesome about punk rock, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And you got a show coming up pretty quick here.
Yeah, we're playing a show in New Holstein, Twisted Tavern, something like that.
Okay.
I don't know. We've never played that this town before, but the next day... it's a pretty big show. The Parasites from Chicago are coming to play.
Nice.
They're getting ready to tour. And they've been around for 20-plus years. And my buddy Yopi in IDFK, he's like, man, this is awesome. And if Yopi gets excited about a show, that's what means you get your ass down there, because that's going to be a damn good show.
Because
he's been in the scene so long, he knows what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's cool. I think the Parasites will probably be one of the biggest pop-punk bands to come through this town. So I'm really excited to play that show. And also Flamingo Nosebleed, they're going to be a pretty well-established band around, you know, the social networking and
all
that. They're from Fort Wayne, and then IDFK, and then I believe Scissor Kicks will be opening up. So that's a solid lineup. And,
and that's a New Holstein?
This is the next day in Final. Like, in New Holstein, we're playing with the Alloy Plot, which is Jim and Russ and Mike's band that do J&R. They're a rock band, but they know what they're doing. I like their stuff. Rock's not really my cup of tea, but if you can get a... Their music, you know, you listen to it when they play. It's just one of those things. You stop what you're doing and you listen to it. It's good stuff. And Spruce Springsteen, you know, Mankey and I believe his name's Johnny, the drummer of the Jetty Boys.
Oh, that's, yeah, yeah.
That's their band.
Okay.
And Shiny Side Down, all the cats from Sheboygan.
Nice.
They're a good band. I've become pretty good friends with those guys, real nice guys. We played a lot of shows with them. The Sheboygan crew is pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Like, all nice guys. Awesome. A lot. And so I really like when we play with that crew.
Yeah, I know there's a pretty cool, like, show coming up in August in Milwaukee. It's like a barbecue. They're like gonna be grilling out. I'm not sure where it's at, but it's at like the Borg. It's like Galactic Cannibals last show. I've been talking about
that. I think I've seen a flyer for that. I forgot who was playing though.
The Jetty Boys are playing.
Okay.
And then I know Direct Hit's playing. I've been talking about them a lot, but I don't know. I like them. But
I like Direct Hit too.
It'd be cool to see Galactic Cannibal, even though they're a pretty like hardcore band. That's Nick Woods from Direct Hit. That's his other band.
Oh, okay.
And his brother does vocals. But it's their last show, and that'd be cool to see. And I like it when shit like that happens. You know, you get a lot of the more local stuff around, and you pull them all together in one area, and it's just a fucking powerhouse. And
yeah,
it's just
yeah.
a really awesome time. And it sucks. I mean, I try to get to as many shows as I can, but nowadays I just, it's not very
it gets so
easy.
Busy.
Yeah, working full-time, I just got a different job, like a job promotion, so I'm going to be gone for 6 weeks training for that in Minneapolis, and then I'll be back every weekend, but I need, you know, I got to see my kids. I'm going to miss them like crazy. But even now when I'm at home, it's really hard to find time, and my wife, she really cuts me a break a lot and lets me get to the shows I want to go to sometimes. The ones I really want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's always invited, but a lot of times you can't find a babysitter, so she bites the bullet and she's like, you know, I'll just stay home and you can, you know, go catch all these guys. And it's pretty cool that she does that. And so every once in a while I get tickets to a band that she likes that I usually don't like. But
yeah.
She's a little younger than me. She grew up in like the real, like, the poppy shit, like All Time Low and stuff like that. We got tickets to see the 1975 in November. I'm not looking forward to that, but you know, she deserves it because she helps out quite a bit. She likes a lot of the music I listen to, but it's just she didn't grow up with it, so it doesn't mean as much to her as it does to me.
Right. I mean, you're way better off if somebody introduces punk rock to you at a young age. I know I was 12. My best friend Sam brought over an Anti-Flag CD.
Oh, nice! Underground Network.
No, it was the first one, Die for Your Government.
Oh, okay.
And I was ever since then. You know, I started going to shows when I was like 14, and it's just been solid punk rock since then.
Yeah, my first show I went to was like the Warped Tour when I was like 14, but I didn't really know anybody there at the time. You know, I saw like Senses Fail. I saw the Transplants, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
But it was like the year after that. That's when I really started to get into punk. I watched Fuse a lot, that cable channel. It used to be awesome. It's not so much anymore.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that's where I got introduced to like Alkaline Trio, Against Me. And it was kind of cool that, no, I wish somebody kind of would have brought me into it, but I just kind of discovered it on my own. And then like after a while I started hearing these songs, I'm like, holy shit, I know these songs from fucking Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've heard this band, like, you know, this band when I was like 8 years old playing PlayStation, so I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, like Pennywise and all that.
Anyway, like NoFX is on there, Suicide Machines,
new Grand Theft Auto, the Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, yeah.
There's a station when you get
in
the car.
Station,
they
yep.
play like the Adolescents and
yep.
the Descendants
and
shit.
Circle Jerks.
Yeah, Circle Jerks.
The Adolescents would be pretty cool to see.
There are a band after that was Agent Orange, and I believe
Agent Orange on there
sometimes.
Yeah,
still.
It's cool when stuff like that is on games like that, because, I mean, even playing video games, you can get introduced to fucking a new sound that you really like, and
right.
that's pretty cool. But let's talk a little bit more about your band.
Okay. Here.
So, I mean, Scissor Kicks, first of all, how'd you get that name?
It was just a random idea that I had for about a year. I had I was in Common Kids. I don't know if you remember that band.
Yep, I do. They were you guys were pretty good. Common Kids were good.
Yeah. When we started Common Kids, we started as a garage rock band, and we knew about punk rock, but we didn't really know anything about playing it, so it was real, like, we just, like, grew from the bottom and kind of got the sound for it, and I had some problems during that time, you know, real bad drinking problem. I just wasn't going anywhere in life, just, you know, just things like that, and I just had to get out of town, so I ran off to a carnival. And I traveled all around with a carnival for about 6 months, and I just missed punk rock. Like, nobody knew what I was talking about, and I just missed it, and I was dying to get into a band. And so I came back in December 2011 and got my shit straight, and I had this idea to start a band called Scissor Kicks. I don't know. I forgot how I thought up the name, but in January 2013, I was like, all right, let's get this shit together.
Yeah.
Let's go. And, played our first show that April at the Nut House where we practice. I forget who we played with. We played with IDFK and the Whiskaholics, I want to say.
Okay.
And then after that, I know the first few practices we had, we just weren't getting anywhere. And then finally we're like, all right, let's stop fucking around. And we started writing songs and started coming together. And then it's just flew off from there.
Yeah,
we started getting shows, and people were like, wow, you guys really play good together. And it really helps that Mike, our other guitarist.
Toshner.
Yeah, you know Toshner?
I don't know if he remembers me, but I used to wrestle on the same wrestling team as he did in middle school.
Yeah, kid can just fly a million miles an hour on the guitar.
Yeah,
he's just crazy, very talented musician. And Nate, our drummer, Nate Schultz, you remember him?
I've probably met him a couple times, yeah.
He knows what he's doing. He knows the right things to put in at the right time. Aaron, like I said, Aaron's just pretty much a pop punk master.
That's awesome.
Of the type that he wants.
Yeah.
And that really kind of puts that form into his songs. I mean, you can definitely tell, oh, that's an Aaron song.
Yeah.
Just by hearing, like, 10 seconds of it, and that's cool. And then they're, you know, so they're all like people that can read music and shit like that. And me, I don't know how to read music.
Yeah.
I can barely tune my guitar. I just kind of get along, but I've always had like natural rhythm. So I've always been kind of creative too, and I've always been kind of poetic.
Sure.
So I pick something and I use my abstract mind, and I'll just bust out a song in like 10 minutes and bring it in, and we'll all work on it. And
that's pretty cool.
But yeah, we.
It's awesome. And you guys have a EP?
Yeah, we record it. I want to say we record it like an 8-song EP of some of our older songs, like last May. And we finally got them mixed and mastered and got it back in January. And we're really running short on time and running out of merch before we went on our Weekend Warrior tour.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, let's just put this shit together ourselves instead of like paying a company to do it and waiting 6 weeks to get them back. So,
yeah, definitely.
And so we brought an 8-song EP out. We got tons of new songs now. We're going to be starting to record either another EP or a full length pretty soon here.
Awesome.
So that should be coming out, you know, maybe by the end of the year or early next year. But yeah. I mean, our band's been cruising around. It's weird when you start playing and you start getting compliments, because you always think that, well, maybe they're just being nice.
Yeah.
But it's good to get compliments, and you know, you can feel your ego rising, but I do a pretty good job of just keeping it low, like, you know.
Just give, well, like, a thank you. Or
yeah, I mean, because I know I'm not the best bass player in the world, so when somebody tells me, oh, that's so awesome, that's so awesome, I'm like, sometimes I think we played kind of shitty, and people were like, you guys fucking rock, that was awesome, you know, and we're like, oh, okay, I guess it doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah. You're definitely going to be your own worst critic, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you sound a lot better than you do. And I mean, the recordings that you guys got sounds fucking awesome. It really does. Sounds.
And that was a real early point in the band too, that we recorded those as well.
I mean, it sounds like you guys got a real you got your sound down.
Uh-huh.
And as far as the recording, you know, it's not overproduced at all.
No.
But it's clear enough that you can really appreciate and really just like take in the sound, you know, and it's not like too like fucking like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that real like underground like garage sounding.
Yeah,
like
that's
recordings
what I love
and
that,
stuff.
You know,
but you know, sometimes, I mean, the way it sounds, it's not. It's.
I love that good. Raw sound.
Yeah,
like, it's awesome. It's just totally. It's the most realistic thing you can get. Kyle Jocko, I don't. Have you ever heard of the band The Moguls from Madison?
I saw them.
Yeah,
they played with Direct Hit and Flatliners at that show.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. They're good stuff. He mixed and mastered it for us.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he did a real good job. I was real happy with the outcome.
Yeah, the Moguls are fucking sweet.
Yeah,
I really like them.
A good band.
Yeah, I never heard of them until I went to that show, and they were the opener, the first band they played. But man, their sound is just so good, and
they got it down. Real nice guys.
The
too.
Backups are awesome. Their drummer's fucking crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy good.
Yeah, it was. There, that was probably one of the better shows I've been to, but yeah, that's cool that you brought them up. But I'm gonna plug. This is like my first time ever putting a song into my podcast, which I really wanna, you know, I had this idea, you know, Married Dude and Friends, because I'm fucking married, I have two kids, I'm only 23 years old,
right.
But and I don't get to see my friends a lot, so usually we sit down and this is what, you know, we just jibber jabber and reminisce and stuff. But I mean. Music's been a huge part of my life, and I think now I really want to get, I'm still going to do that with my friends, but I really want to get bands in, you know, people in bands in here and start like playing some of their music, kind of just expose them.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Because, I mean, the more people you get out there, it's just fucking, you know, the more the merrier. It's just a party and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you're the first music guy in here with a band, and we're gonna play a song.
All right.
I think we're gonna play Cooler Than You, and then if there's another one we can play that you want to hear or that you want people to hear.
Cooler Than You is one of my songs. Why don't we play Get Over It? It's one of Aaron's
Get
songs.
Over It. We'll play both of them.
Okay.
And then is there? I mean, your EP is called Yeah Man. We got this EP. It's called Scissor Kicks.
Yeah.
And they can get it at your shows.
Yeah, well, we got T-shirts for $5, and EPs for $4. Oh, no, T-shirts are $8. EPs are $4. You can get both for $10.
That's a solid deal.
Have you noticed the covers, like the Sex Pistols album? We kind of had this funny thing. Well, we think it's funny. I guess maybe some people do. Maybe some people just think we're stupid. But we've just like been blatantly ripping off logos. Like our shirts are a picture of Milo, and it says your mom goes to college.
Yeah,
you know, instead of Milo goes to college. And then, you know, we have Dead Kennedys pins that say SK. You know. And,
oh yeah.
You know. Just,
yeah, I knew I recognize the Sex Pistols one. Yeah. And they have one that's called like Yeah Man. We've got whatever. What is it?
Never Mind the Bullocks.
Yeah, or something like that. Hey, that's all right.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, that
we'll come over their own logo soon. But I mean, that joke will wear out, but, you know, well, it might. We usually don't wear out our jokes to ourselves, maybe to other people, but we don't really care. So.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. So no. I think what we'll do is we'll play Cooler Than You.
Okay.
Come back and talk for a little bit, and then we'll end it with Get Over It and fucking introduce some people to punk rock.
All right. Sounds pretty tits.
Just got some time to get.
All right, that was Cooler Than You off the Scissor Kicks EP. Yeah, man, we got this EP. It's called Scissor Kicks. Rip off with the Sex Pistols, but who cares?
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah, and I don't think you have to worry about Johnny Rotten coming around this way and doing anything about it.
Yeah.
I don't... the Sex Pistols have their place, but I really... I don't know.
Think they got overshadowed by Sid Vicious. You know?
Yeah.
Some nihilistic junkie. You know, I don't know why he's such an icon. He didn't do shit, you know?
Yeah. I kind of really don't like the Misfits either.
You know, that's not when very... I first listened to punk rock, I was like, yeah, Misfits. It's got to be Danzig. Fuck Michael Graves. You know, but, you know, it's got to be old school. But, yeah, it's like the Misfits. It's whatever. I've heard them. I'm over them, you know?
Yeah.
All their publicity now, you know, this time. I've seen Danzig shit. I heard it's going to start selling in big stores like Target and Walmart.
Oh, really?
And stuff like that. You know, it's
whatever.
I'm over those guys.
Yeah.
I'll listen to them once in a while, but.
Yeah, every once in a while, you know, I love like the Ramones and the Clash, and
oh, yeah.
I don't think I'll ever get over them. But it was weird when I took my daughter to go see Joan Jett at Summerfest, and Richie Ramone played before. Joan didn't even know Richie Ramone. I don't think he was really in the Ramones too long.
He did a couple albums with them.
Yeah. So. But they sound a lot different. It's not very Ramonesy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that whole down strumming, I'm sure their wrists are wore out.
Yeah,
so.
Well, he was the drummer, I think Richie was.
Yeah, he was the drummer.
And he plays guitar and sings in this one.
Oh, yeah.
For Richie Ramone.
I would figure, yeah.
But it's interesting, you know, but I love, like, the Clash is fucking classic. You can't. I don't think you can ever not like The Clash.
No, they were a pretty creative band. I really like The Clash.
Yeah. The Ramones, it's a hard pick between The Ramones and The Clash for me, but I really do like The Ramones, especially, you know, they have that, like you were saying before, that real tight sound, and it's like, you know, these short, powerful songs, and they go to the next one, and they're all just so catchy, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with being catchy at all. When people think of, like, oh, it's catchy, they think of it's like, you know, a Lady Gaga song or a Katy Perry song. But
right.
it's nothing like that. It's just, you know, there's nothing wrong with being fucking melodic.
It's catchy because you're moving, and it's just like, you get, I don't know, me, I just get lost in the sound, and you just kind of, that's all you're focused on,
yeah.
You know, it's just like, but you're only playing three or four chords, so
yeah.
You're focusing on playing those three or four chords. The most, getting your staccatos down and just
yep.
playing it as tight as you can.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know?
And I think it's, I like that, you know, the pop punk and that sound is kind of getting
brought back.
A little, yeah, it's getting brought back.
That's why 90s pop punk was so awesome. You know, it's total Ramone core, and I'm a total Ramone core junkie.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of cool bands out there that still downstrum, like the Cobains from Chicago.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing with them at the Liars Club August 1st
awesome.
In Chicago.
Well, that's sweet.
So I'm looking forward to playing with those guys. And I know, like, Teenage Bottle Rocket,
yeah,
they downstrum too.
I love Teenage
yeah,
Bottle Rocket.
They're cool guys too. I've met them before. And
yeah, know. I've never met them, but I've seen them like two or three times, and they're just fucking...
Yeah.
They're so, like, Ray and then the drummers, they're just so weird, but they're such cool dudes. They seem like cool dudes.
Yeah.
I really like Mash and Shooter a lot, too. You know, they're from the Madison area, and I think that's pretty cool that they're, I mean, I the gimmick, I guess, gets old, but I like their sound, and I like them.
I'm back and forth with them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were in the Gusto. That was their first band.
Yeah.
And I don't think people know that, but if you want to know.
Well, their drummer was in the Transgressions, too.
Okay.
Yeah, the Transgressions were awesome.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Gusto was really good. I do like... It took me a little bit to get into Mass Intruder, but now I listen to them every once in a while, pop them in, and...
I just think that their whole gimmick and the fact that I'm fat now...
Yeah.
Just kind of gets to their heads. Because I know some people that have talked to them. Like,
oh, sure.
Like, and been like, oh, what band are you in? Oh, I can't tell you. We know what fucking band you're in, man. Just... Let's be real right now, you know. We won't tell anybody if you don't want us to, you know.
Yeah. But, I didn't realize they took it that seriously.
Yeah, I don't know if all of them, but I know. I don't know, I really can't talk shit. I've never talked to the guys.
Yeah.
And True to Blue did kick me off stage once. I saw him at Punk Rock Fest in
Madison.
For
real?
Yeah, and we had, the car I was in was icing out, and we were driving on 151, and
okay.
We slid off the road and slammed into a tree. And I paid $150 for a tow truck to tow us out, and we made it to the show. When Mass Intruder was playing, I asked their bass player, can I come up and tell my story? And I went up and said, yeah, this is fucking awesome. We slid off the road and slammed into a tree and still made it. And then all of a sudden I look over and he's, and the Intruder was like, get off the stage, you know, get off the stage, you know.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like yelling at me, like, but, you know, so I kind of had a bad taste in my mouth about them. But, you know, they were in the middle of their set. It is what it is. Shit like that happens.
Yeah.
You know, I'm over it. So, I mean, I like Mass Intruder. They're good at what they do. It's just, I'm kind of back and forth on their vocals, you know.
Sure,
they're
sure.
So clean, and it's definitely different, but, you know.
I know. I like that they're bringing, that Wisconsin a good image.
Oh, yeah.
And Direct Hit does that, too, because they're from Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, really before that, as far as, like, really, really big bands, I mean, they're not too many from Wisconsin. I mean, the Violent Femmes are from Milwaukee, but I don't know.
Yeah. I know they had a documentary about those guys.
About the Violent Femmes?
Yeah.
They had their place, I suppose, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't focus too much of my life on them.
You know? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But yeah, man, well, I'm really happy you guys or you came in, and maybe one time we can get a couple more, you know, you and maybe Toshner, you know, your drummer.
We could get the whole band in there and do that. And
yeah, that'd be cool. We need more microphones.
Bring their all opinions in.
We could do it. That'd be sweet. Yeah, I'm definitely, so if you know anybody that wants, you know, that's in a band or whatever and then wants to get their stuff out, I don't have a huge audience that I know of.
Right.
But I mean, you never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, the two bands, you could ask Jim from JNR.
Okay.
And those guys, that'd be really good because they're the ones that are putting all this shit together and making it work.
Definitely.
And you know, No Time's a Charm, those guys, my roommate.
Yeah,
They kind of seem like they need a little push to get out there. So I can talk to them. And
that'd
IDFK,
cool.
Of course. You know,
so. Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, I'm going to be gone for a while, and
okay.
I'm going to try my best to get...
Sometime in the future.
But yeah, definitely. I'd love that. I'm trying to get a guy from Sunday Sunglasses to come in.
Okay.
Have you ever listened to them?
Yeah, yeah.
I really like them.
Yeah, I like them. I like them too.
They sound really cool, and the local, you know, the more local, the better.
Right.
So, but yeah, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do one of these things. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a interesting experience. We're gonna end this with Get Over It.
All right.
Get Over It. Go out and see the Scissor Kicks. You got a website?
Yeah. If you go on our Facebook page, type in Scissor Kicks, and go to our info, and there should be a link to our Bandcamp page, and you can buy our EP off there and listen to it and whatnot. And like I said, next show's July 25th in New Holstein at Twisted Tavern, I believe it's called. And then July 26th, the Parasite Show with IDFK and Flamingo Nosebleed. It's going to be a big one.
What day is that? A Saturday?
That's a Saturday. 25th is a Friday, 26th is a Saturday. So
okay. Maybe I'll try to, if I'm back that weekend.
Yeah, show's going to kick ass.
It sounds like it's going to be sweet. And that's at Ziggy's.
That's at Ziggy's. And at Ziggy's, there's always no cover.
Yeah, so, and that's awesome.
Which is cool. So
come get drunk, have a good time, and see some fucking great music.
Yes, sir.
All right. Get Over It. Scissor Kicks. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you. Vindictive.